We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come in flesh. This is our passage for study this evening, Psalm 17 and verse 8. We'll note that it in some senses looks very different than your Psalm 17:8. In your conventional translations. Keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye. In the shade of your wings, you will cause me to be concealed. Again, keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye. In the shade of your wings, you will cause me to be concealed. Having just viewed this video about persecution of believers in Vietnam, let us just take a moment of prayer for them, for some scriptural prayer on their behalf, and then we will go immediately into our teaching. Father, we are indeed praying for the believers in Vietnam who are being persecuted for their faith, and we pray for whatever the chief governmental position and positions are, what the scripture would refer to in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 as kings, and all those being in prominence. We pray for those there, and not for their sakes, but so that we believers in Vietnam should be conducting a tranquil and quiet life in all piety and dignity. We do ask that as the God of all encouragement and consolation and comfort and mercies, that you would strengthen our brethren there beyond all that you have already given to all believers of life and godliness, all that you've already given us by the multiplication of your grace in the realms of life and piety. We ask that you would give them an especial greater grace as you meet their humility in James 4:6. So Father, we pray that whatever you would do in changing those who are in the government in their hearts, or changing those who are in government in their persons, wherein you put other people in those offices that would be sympathetic to the ideas of religious liberty, or that you just change the government, that would be admirable, that would be desirable. But Father, whatever you do and however you do it, we simply ask, Father, that you would work according to your divine wisdom and devotion and truth and justice on behalf of the believers in Vietnam. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, our text, as we have already said, reads in some places significantly differently than this text in your conventional translations. Keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye. then in the shade of your wings you will cause me to be concealed. Keep me like most of our versions are going to have, the apple of your eye. If I were to talk to you today about, you know, what does it mean that someone is the apple of someone's eye, you would understand that idiom. You would understand that in 21st century and even 20th century, and we can even say even back to like the 17th century English, that the apple of one's eye is the person who is the heart's darling, if you would, the object of one's delight is the apple of someone's eye. But have you ever thought about this idiom? Why do we say that? Like, first of all, what's an apple of someone's eye? How is someone's eye having an apple? This maybe brings out how non-thinking we can be when I hear these words in this order put together. I know what that means. I know that figure of speech. And we never stop to think, what does that mean? Why is it said that way? We actually get this idiom from the Scripture. To be the apple of someone's eye in the Bible is, in like the King James, that is the earliest that I know of that uses that terminology. Maybe some earlier English versions use it. But the apple of the eye in the Scripture is, you know, a person who is cherished, but because of that cherishing, protected. Instead of keep me as the apple of your eye, we have this novel, even strange, translation of your elder. Keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye. The little man is the word ishon. Ish, you've heard of many times from me, that's the word for man. Man, not in the sense of humanity, that would be adam, but man in the sense of an adult male. And this own ending that is put onto ish, often when you see a word like that, though not all the time, it is what we call a diminutive form. Here's another one of those age things that most of you won't even relate to at all. My son was telling me about something that he referred to. My son is 29 years old. Okay? 29. He's a mere 29. And he said to me, we're coming back from Reading this past weekend, he said, even my age, there are people younger than me who don't know what I'm talking about. And he gave some examples of that. Well, this, you're really not going to know what I'm talking about here. Some of you are. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're going to smile at this. You remember that song? How much is that doggy in the window? Okay? Yeah, it was. Yes, that one, Jerry. The one with the waggly tail. Right. When you hear that, you don't think of that dog being a full-grown Great Dane, do you? You don't think that's the kind of dog that's in the window, because it's called a doggy. And what we do when we, in English, when we try to make something, take a word and say, it's a little one of those, it's like a cute one of those, we say doggy rather than dog. Well, own is how you often do that in the Hebrew. So we have ish, a man, but it's an ishon, so it's a little man. What is the little man? Keep me like a little man. The little man, and this is the case in other languages as well, is, and when you really need a couple people who are extremely secure to test this out, but if we were to get close enough, and if our eyesight was good enough, and I had a hard time doing this, I was testing it out on myself in the mirror. But if you can look into the pupil of another person, you can see your reflection inside their pupil, in the black part of their eye. Sydney is gripped by this right now. She's back there like, see that rapt attention until everybody looked at her? Now she's smiling. But I can think, like, she's going to go home and try this. She's going to go, Mom, and like, get up. Go home and try this. That little man, that little person that you're seeing reflected in somebody else's eye, that's how we've gotten our word pupil, from the Latin that means little man. So not just Hebrew does it like this. Keep me like a little man, and that little man is called daughter of the eye. So the idea is your pupil, the very center of your eye, and that is called the daughter of the eye. Alright? Now, daughter of the eye is somewhat of what we call a double entendre. That is, it's words that have two meanings. The daughter of my eye is, it's that thing, it's that smaller piece of my eye, and that daughter of is often a Hebrew idiom that is used to convey that idea. But also, if you have the daughter of your eye, we tend to protect daughters more than sons, not because we love daughters more than sons, but because even when they're grown, even into maturity, we recognize that daughters are vulnerable. We recognize that, as the scripture puts it, Peter speaks in language like this. I know that the feminists may hate this language, but the woman is the weaker vessel. And, I mean, and most of you women don't discount that at all. But when we talk weaker, we're talking way weaker. We're talking significantly weaker. We're talking like weaker, like it's not no contest, all right? So we protect daughters even when they're grown. None of you men have ever heard me say to you, listen, don't go out at night alone. Don't walk home from church alone. Get a ride. You don't hear me talk to you that way, right? We have talked that way on many occasions to our sister daughters here. So the writer David, aware of what he's saying, the greater writer of the Holy Spirit behind David, is inspiring him to write to God, to say to God, keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye. The idea is, when anything comes near your eye, especially the pupil, right in the middle of your eye. Now see, I can do this to myself because I know I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to poke myself in the eye. If you do that, even if you tell me I'm not going to poke you in the eye, my natural response, my intuitive reaction is to close my eye. Anytime something gets close to your eye, we protect our eyes with goggles at times when, if there's some kind of, you know, if there's some kind of danger to the eye, if anything comes near your eye, this fluttering happens involuntarily of your eyelid, you protect that the eye, but especially the middle part of it, the pupil. David is writing and asking God to not just kind of in a casual way protect him, but to guard him like you would guard something that was coming near your eye. The daughter of the eye. The daughter is the cherished and cared for and protected child of the eye. And so he uses this as a figure of that. It's not the only time that this figure is used. Let's look at some other uses of it, and you'll see it's always with the idea of protective care. The first of these is in Deuteronomy 32:10. And by the way, none of these are going to be in exactly that form that we find it here. We're going to find the little man of the eye. Not in this whole way, the little man, daughter of the eye. This is unique to this one verse. But you'll see the idea of protection, the protected party being likened to the pupil of the eye. Deuteronomy 32, then, and verse 10. This is speaking about God finding Jacob, or Israel, in the desert. He found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Literally, the little man of his eye. Then to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 2. Proverbs 7, 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law, or let me just check something here. Yes, my Torah, or doctrine, as the apple of your eye. Now, it's not God protecting someone, but it's you and I, it's us protecting the commandments of God, that is protection from violation in our lives, protection that is so solicitous that it is likened to the pupil of our eyes and how we protect that. Then in Psalm 9, this is talking about how there is a woman open to fornication, and there is this man that David is talking about. Remember last week we said he just kept talking about this till Solomon said, I got it, Dad! I understand! Okay, well, he's tough. You're going to hear it again. And here he's talking about that. He's painting a picture. He's giving a story. He's kind of giving a mental image of this man who is a fool, going to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. The word black is little man. That is, literally, he went in the little man of the night. And here, there's two senses here, right? We talk about something being black as coal, something being black as pitch. How about black as a pupil? Your pupil is this, like, I don't know why we say jet black. I don't know that jets are black, usually, but there's this very black center of your eye. Whatever color your iris is around it, your pupil is this perfect black, and it's in the middle of the eye. So the idea is, like, yes, it's in the darkest part of the night, that is, right in the very middle of the night, what we would call midnight.
Verse
7:9. And then 20:20. Proverbs 20:20, you see it in this sense again. Whoever curses his father or his mother, by the way, curses doesn't mean some magical, mystical thing where you put a hex on your parents or something. This is whoever speaks ill about their parents, whoever says a negative word about their parents, mother or father, not just to somebody else, but to them, to their face, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. The word deep is little man. In the very center of darkness, which is the darkest part of dark. There is another word, as you turn to Zechariah 2. There is another word that I'm going to translate pupil when I get to it. It is only used in Zechariah, but the idea is exactly the same. Zechariah 2:8. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye, or the pupil of his eye. This one is not the little man. This is the Hebrew word bava, and that's the one I'll translate pupil when we get to it. So the psalmist is asking, David, that psalmist, asking for a very careful, even anxious, because when something comes at your eye like that, it's not like a very passive reaction that you have. It's a very anxious action where God is invoked to protect him. And then another figure is used. In the shade of your wings, you will cause me to be concealed. This is like any kind of bird. Now, a picture. Same idea of great solicitous protection, but a different figure, under a different figure. The idea of a bird who, when seeing that the chicks are in danger, goes over and envelops them with wings. It's darker there under the wings. So in the shade of your wings, God's wings, God does not have wings, but it's a figure of speech. In the shade of your wings, you will cause me to be concealed. That is, in answer to this prayer that you keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye, he is confident that God's answer is going to be to shield him, to conceal him, to protect him in the shade of his wings. Another common biblical figure for this protection. Let's look at some of those other places where the shade of your wings, and we're talking about God's metaphorical, figurative wings are being viewed. All of these are in the Psalms, by the way. And each of these, the word for wings is the same as it is here. The word for shade, which is sail, is the same as it is here. So we have exactly the same figure. Psalm 36 and verse 7. Psalm 36, 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow or shade of your wings. Because human beings have come to experience and therefore know God's loving kindness. They trust in this protection. Psalm 57 and verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge, or in, as I would translate it, the shade of your wings. I will make my refuge until calamities have passed by. When do you trust God? It ought to be all the time. But particularly so when calamities are present. And then Psalm 63 and verse 7. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Or in the shade of your wings, I will rejoice. God is the one in whose shade, of whose wings, we trust and take refuge. And do you recall how in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, how the Lord, as He was approaching Jerusalem on this donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, how He was weeping, and He said that, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you under my wings, like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. We read that, and it is perfectly sensible to us, because we recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ is. If we did not know that the Lord Jesus Christ, however, is God, that would be such a blasphemous presumptuousness. You would think in the mouth of anyone who wasn't God, to talk like that. God's the only one that gathers whole nations, whole cities, the new nation of the body of Christ, the people of God. He's the only one that can do that, and thus we have another proof of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Keep me like a little man, daughter of the eye, in the shade of your wings, you will cause me to be concealed. I have as an exhortation to you this evening the encouragement that you would simply believe in the reality of a relationship like this. That this isn't something that was relegated and therefore reserved for David. David isn't talking about, this is something that is only true to me. But that as a believer, knowing that God does not show partiality, God does not love, in the sense of devotion, David more than any of you. You're not as famous as David, but you're known as well to God as David was. There's no fame with God. He doesn't know people because they're famous, even spiritually famous, like people in the Scripture. He knows your heart. He knows your soul. He has known you to save you every bit as much as He did and does those things with David. So this is the kind of thinking that I would desire that you take and personalize, that you individualize for yourself. You can pray this way to God. He cares about you. The one having ears to be hearing, let him be hearing.